Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
As they try to improve their online digital services, many federal agencies could benefit from direct feedback from citizens using those services. Thanks to the Paperwork Reduction Act and other bureaucratic obstacles, asking people for feedback is difficult for federal agencies. It can take months to get permission. Here with some strategies to improve that situation, Kathy Conrad, Director of Digital Government at Accenture and former Citizen Services Executive at the General Services Administration. Kathy, good to have you on.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so the Paperwork Reduction Act goes back to something like the Nixon administration, I think it is, and yet it still rears its ugly head here in the digital age.
Yes, it does. And I think in today's world, which is, you know, as we all know, is increasingly digital, people expect to be able to provide feedback on the services that they receive.
Every place you go online, whether you're buying something or booking something, there's, you know, how did we do? And 4 stars and 5 stars and all these reviews. Why can't federal agencies technically do this, or legally, I guess?
Well, there certainly are some things they can do. And when the Paperwork Reduction Act was put into place, it was very well intended. It was intended to make sure that citizens aren't unduly burdened by the forms and surveys that they receive from government. But today, I think that there's consensus across government that customer experience is, and improving customer experience is really critical to not just improve the way that citizens can interact with government, but also make it more possible for agencies to really deliver their mission, to get the kind of uptake on their services and the kind of compliance that's needed in order to deliver services efficiently and meet the needs of today's citizens.
Because my reading of the Paperwork Reduction Act says that you can't put out forms unless you get permission to do that for large numbers of people to fill out. But if you just have an online feedback mechanism and it's voluntary on the part of the user, then that would seem to be one way around the Reduction Act.
Well, you know, what it actually requires is that if you get feedback from more than 9 people in a standardized way, that you have to get regulatory clearance through the OMB process. And again, that can just be incredibly burdensome and time-consuming. When I was in government, we often had an excessively long and cumbersome process to go through in order to get that kind of clearance, even for things that should be clearly beneficial to delivering government services. Where we are today, I think, is that there's recognition that getting voluntary, opt-in, online feedback from customers for the purposes of improving digital services is commonplace in the private sector and ought to be the way that the government operates as well. And you'll see in the president's management agenda, you'll see customer experience as a key cap goal. So I think the question that you asked is a good one. Well, what is allowed? And so if you can't get feedback from more than 10 people. In fact, there was a flexibilities memo released in 2016 that isn't well recognized or isn't well understood, but is really important. And it explicitly states that direct observation of individuals and asking non-standard questions is encouraged and allowed under PRA.
Explain that a little bit more.
So what that means is that one of the best practices in user-centered design or design thinking, which is the way that government increasingly should be designing its services, is to get voice of the customer input through what's called qualitative or ethnographic research. And so that means that you can directly observe people interacting with websites, apps, or services and really get some insight into their intent. See what their pain points are, what their frustrations are, what are the clever workarounds that they've developed to be able to more easily interact with services. And that helps you understand how people are navigating, how they're discovering content, and what the overall usability is. You can ask people to do something. We use a technique called you ask people to think out loud, where you understand not only what they're doing, but why they're doing that. And the information that you gather from those kinds of observations and interviews can inform the way you design services or apps or websites so that you're designing around those needs, those preferences, and the intent of the people who need to use them rather than around policy or government organization or a complex process that you should never be able to expect the average person to simply understand.
We're speaking with Kathy Conrad. She's Director of Digital Government at Accenture. So, for example, is it legal and okay to monitor how people click through a particular process and, say, anonymizing who it is that's or the URL that it's coming from, but get an aggregate sense of where people seem to always go wrong on the same website?
Yeah, it's not only allowed. In fact, GSA, when I was at GSA in the program, continues to grow and expand, has a program called the Digital Analytics Program that provides tools to agencies at no cost to do exactly that. Web analytics tools that allow you to see not only what kind of visitors you have, but what their online experience is for the purpose of improving those services.
So you could measure, say, how many times people try to do something or whether they can do it in 5 minutes versus an hour or whether they come back day after day to try the same thing. I mean, I've had all these issues myself on every kind of site you can imagine. So that can all be measured, correct?
Yeah, it can be. And again, I think the purpose of that should be to help government make sure that the way in which information and content is being presented can be most easily consumed by the people who are trying to use those sites.
In other words, you can redesign your processes based on that data. And I wanted to ask you more about asking people to think out loud. How can that work in a digital services setting if someone's online?
So that would be done actually by observing, we will often send people out to do site visits and sit side by side with somebody, either an employee who's working on an internal site or a user, and observe how they're interacting with a site or an online service. So it's truly direct observation in the field. Field research is really important to understand how citizens and employees interact with government systems and services.
I mean, wouldn't part of designing a digital service say you are the team that is putting together a website to do XYZ for a particular agency? It would seem natural to take in people that are completely unfamiliar with the project you're doing and say, here, try this and see what happens when you try to apply for this or schedule that. Is that something that's done routinely, or you're saying it should be done a lot more?
It should be done a lot more. And actually, we really recommend going out and doing that kind of user research before you start designing through a process that is referred to as discovery. So in doing discovery, if you're going to launch a new service, or even if you're going to redesign a new service, you may want to go out and meet with, understand who the customers are who would be interacting with those sites, and meet with and interview representative user groups who would inform how that service is designed before you even start designing. So understand, for example, VA has done a lot of good work with veterans going out and understanding how might they want to use, for example, something in a self-service capacity that they've had to do in person in the past. We've done similar work with some of our clients across government, where we'll go out and meet with users to understand what their intent is and what they prefer based on how they actually perform different job functions or would choose to use a service if it were available online.
So that's almost like focus group research that that hotel chains and restaurants and so forth do. And just to be clear, that can be done, say, by a contractor or by an agency itself, and that would not be a violation of the Paperwork Reduction Act?
So focus groups get a little fuzzy, and that's why clarification in the law or in the guidance would be helpful. Direct observation and non-standard interviews are fine. So if you had a focus group of, say, groups of 8 or 9 people, that's fine. But if the focus group included 15 people, that might cross that threshold. And that's a good example of why clarification is so important, because you really want to get representative voice of the customer feedback and use that as the basis for designing new systems, services, and websites.
So 3 times 9 instead of 1 times 27.
Exactly. you have a future as a designer.
Well, at least in arithmetic, I guess. Kathy Conrad is Director of Digital Government at Accenture and former GSA Citizen Services Executive. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.